you have your Bible, I would encourage you to take it and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And we are going to read from verse 13 all the way through, verse 10 through 16. Let us ask the Lord blessing upon His Word this morning. Father, we thank You again that we can look into Your Word. Your Word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we ask this morning that You will make known Your words to us again. Reveal it to us, Father, through the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, we just pray, God, that You will open up listening ears and speak to our hearts. You, as You know where we are in our walk and our relationship with You. We ask, Lord, that You will touch every heart and every life that is here this morning. And speak to us, Lord, again, as we surrender our lives to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And this is Jesus giving the purpose or the meaning of parables after His disciple asked Him, why does He speak in parables? Verse 10 says, then the disciples came and said to Him, why do You speak to them in parables? And He answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I have speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. And with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. And the 16th verse says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. So today, my message is meant as an introduction to parables. Over the course of the next several weeks when I'm going to be here, I'm going to spend some time touching on some of the parables of Jesus, which is the reason why I wanted to do this message here this morning and also take the title from what the disciples asked Jesus. Why do you speak to them? Them mean the people. Those that are not saved, those that are of the religious group, he asked them, the disciples ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? And I want to title this message this morning as, Why Parables? And before I jump right into my message this morning and sort of touch on why parables, not sure how many of you here this morning, have you ever wondered why Jesus spoke in parables? I mean, Jesus' disciples ask him that question. Master, why do you speak to them in parables? And if you're here this morning, have you ever read a parable and never once understood its meaning? And if you are one of those persons, I just wanted to say you're not alone, because I have been there myself as a young Christian growing up. When I first came across the parables of Jesus, I've been reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which is the only three gospel that has parables. You will not find the parables of Jesus in John or any other part of the New Testament. The parables are in the Synoptic Gospel only. I found them to be rather confusing. And at the same time, some of those parables, when you read the gospel, for me, I was somewhat shocked by some of the hard saying of Jesus. And like I said, if you're here, you're not alone. And I've met believers, I've met people over the years who also felt the same way as I did. And I trust and pray that as we look into some of these parables over the course of the next several weeks that I'm going to be here, I hope that the Lord will help us to understand and open up our hearts to really grasp the truth of the message that Jesus conveyed to those when he spoke in parables. But I love the word from the Proverbs chapter 78. And I was going to have some slides this morning, but because of the outage over the with Rogers Network this past on Friday, I wasn't able to put the slides and send it in time. So I will read the passage this morning from Proverbs 78, verse 1 and 2. God said, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark saying of old." So let me first begin by saying that parables in the Old Testament are quite different from those of the New Testament. The meaning and interpretation of parables of the Old Testament were explained after the fact. Take, for example, 2 Samuel chapter 12. When King David sinned against Bathsheba, which is Uriah's wife, the prophet Nathan came and told him a simple parable about a rich man. There was a rich man and there was a poor man. The rich man had 100 sheep, and the poor man had just one ewe lamb, which he cherished, which he loved, which he cared for. And it so happened that the rich man had guests one weekend, and what he did, he took the one ewe lamb from the poor man and offered it to his guest. And when David heard that story, that parable, from Nathan, he was outraged, the Bible says, and said, "That man must be put to death and restored fourfold of what he has taken from the poor man." And David was moved with compassion. David was also outrage, as the scripture says. But then Nathan turned to him and said, "You are that man, David." Immediately took that parable and interpreted it to David and said, "David, you are that man. You took the one wife that Uriah has, the Hittite, and you sin against God." And Nathan confronted David with his sin, and Nathan did not hesitate to bring that before David, and David at the same time realized what he did and confessed and seek God's forgiveness and, you know, came before the Lord. And the purpose of that parable that Nathan brought to David was to also bring God's judgment upon the house of David, because God warned David that what he did was wrong, not only wrong, but God was going to judge his house for that. And so the interpretation of the parable was immediately given. And throughout the Old Testament, when you read some of the other parables, you will see that the interpretation are made known, the people understood at that point in time. But when you come to the New Testament, however, most of Jesus' parable, the interpretation are only known to certain groups of people. And that group are those that are within his circle, the disciples. There are over 40 plus parables of Jesus. And only one or two or several parables, the interpretations are given. And I trust and I hope that I will be able to maybe speak on some of those in the coming weeks. And the same is true today. For those who are in Christ can really grasp the meaning of these parables. And Jesus would explain that to the disciples. He said the parables were meant for you and not for them. The understanding was not for them, but for you. And the truth of these parables are made known to us who are in Christ by the Holy Spirit. But those outside of Christ, that truth is hidden. And sometimes we wonder why that is so. Parables were nothing new to the Jewish people, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And like I said, there are over 40 parables of Jesus, all of which introduced by Jesus. Now, what is interesting about Jesus' parable, not only are they found in the Synoptic Gospel, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, well, what you will also find is that in the first 2 years of Jesus' public life and ministry, he never once spoke a parable. Never once. And all the parables that Jesus spoke, 40-something plus parables, were done in his latter years, in his last year of public ministry. And he will spend his entire life for that last year speaking in parables, going about places and speaking. So the people in Jesus' day were well aware of parables, because the parables of when the Pharisees and the Sadducees use parables, they use it in such a way because they knew the parables of the old. And when they were referring to parables, they were referring to the truth that were already conveyed by Moses, or what was contained in the Mosaic Law. So they were able to reference what was already said, and they could have gone back in the Old Testament and the writings of Moses, and they could relate to those parables. They could relate to the interpretation. But when Jesus spoke parables, most of them were amazed. Most of them were left baffled. Most of them were shocked, like I said, and couldn't understand, even his disciples, and which is the reason why they asked. So Jesus' use of parables were meant to communicate one thing, a spiritual truth, and that's all it is. And the meaning was only given to the disciples. It was to help the disciples understand the spiritual truth that of what he said, and I hope and pray that we are going to look at some of those and help us to also grasp the truth from those parables. The truth was hidden to those, like I said, from those outside of Christ. So here, Matthew, if we go back to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus, if we listen to Jesus' word very carefully, he said, "This is the reason why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Jesus already knew that what he said, that they are not going to hear, they're not going to see, because they're not going to understand. It's the same thing when Jesus came to Nicodemus, which is not a parable. Nicodemus says, "You know, you're a good teacher that came from God." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "Should I enter in my mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus says, "No, that which is of spirit is spirit, and that which is of flesh is flesh. If I tell you heavenly things, you will never understand, Nicodemus. The things of God must be made known to us, and it is made known to us through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit." And Jesus was telling Nicodemus about the new birth. "For you to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. For you to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again." And Nicodemus was baffled about that. And there are people today who will hear the gospel and wouldn't even understand what it means. And here Jesus is saying to him, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. These are the same words that Jesus used when Isaiah saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah said, "Lord," God says, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Lord, send me." And then Isaiah said, God gave Isaiah this command to go to the people and speak to them. And he says, you will speak the word, you will speak the gospel to them, but they will never understand, because their heart is so hard against the truth. Seeing they do not see means that they are those who are blind. They are blinded towards the truth of God's word. And the same thing goes with the hearing. They will never understand. Why is that? Because it is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that blinded eyes can see and deaf ears can hear. And that is the reason why they are so, it is so, because the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Paul said that. It is until God comes, God, Holy Spirit comes and quicken our dead spirit and make it alive. Only then our eyes and ears are open to the truth of God's word. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that make those things known to us. Paul, and for those who are in Christ, says, those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. That was the state that we were all in once, Paul says. But when God, Holy Spirit, comes and quicken our hearts and our spirit and make the truth and make known the word of God to us, only then we can hear it. And I'm always wonder about that as well, is because Jesus said in his final words in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, he says, go in all the world, the great commission, the great command, go in all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But why he says to go, even though we know that there are people who will not respond to the gospel, but yet again he calls us to go and preach and teach and share and tell our friends and our neighbor. Yet again, how do we respond to that? The only way you can respond to that is that we go in obedience to his word. We go in obedience to his command. It's the same thing as like we are going to do here this morning, taking communion. He says, as often as you drink this wine and you eat this bread, you do show it is the command of the Lord. And the command is for us to go and tell them about the truth of the gospel. And it is, we are not the ones that will cause them to come to faith. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that will convict the hearts of men and women and bring them to that truth. None of us here this morning can convince anyone to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And parables this morning are meant to drive home this a strong spiritual truth for those who are in Christ. And for us listening to Jesus, those of us that are listening to the parables of Jesus, like I said, some of us may respond very, you know, we may be puzzled about what he is saying. But the truth is there. The truth of God's word is there to help us so that we can come into a closer relationship with Jesus, with him. Verse 16 says, blessed are your eyes. Here's the reason why. Here's what Jesus says. Blessed is are your eyes. Those are his disciples and every one of us that are here this morning. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Once I was blind, but a songwriter said, but now I see. I mean, we sing it most of the times, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. It is the work of God, Holy Spirit, that opened blinded eyes. And this is what Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, because it's already been opened by the Holy Spirit. For they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and many righteous people long to see what you see. Isn't that amazing? He says, many of those people long to see the prophets of the old, long to have that opportunity of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to open their eyes and their ears to see. But they did not see it, and to hear, but they did not hear. But you, Jesus said, your eyes have been opened. Now, parables are made up of two Greek words, para and balo. Para is a prefix, and it means to put something alongside something else, to lay it alongside. And balo means to throw or hurl something. And if you are to put these two words together, basically means it means to throw alongside, and that's what Jesus was doing when he uses parable. He takes the truth and he throw it alongside things that they could relate to, things that they could see, things that they understand in those days. Think about the parables of the sower and the seed. I said just before we read verse verse 10 here, the parable, this was the same parable that he was saying to them. Esau went out to seed and throw seeds. And they understand that because most of their life was farming. They understand that. A sower, which represents someone that goes out and is planting his yard or his garden or whatever it is. But he said the seed, which is the word of God, fell on four different types of soil. Some fell on the rocky, some fell on the wayside, some fell between thorns, and some fell on good soil. And each one of them respond differently. And he was talking about the word of God, when the word is sown. But the people could not understand it. Disciples understood that. So he took them the truth of the God's word and threw it alongside something that they could relate to. And parables are not the same as other figures of speech, such as proverbs or metaphors or similes. And we must never confuse the parables of Jesus with other parts of speech. Parables are meant to hide the truth to those outside of Christ rather than conveying it. And you're like, well, why would God want to do that? Which is the reason why parables are not like stories. Stories are about illustrations and making a point and something that you and I can follow. And even though Jesus was a master of storytelling, he was more than just a storyteller. His entire ministry was about taking real life situation and bring out that deep spiritual truth that will change the hearts and lives of men and women. Those who eyes, like he said, will hear, and those who ears will open. And Jesus, the most of the parables was about the kingdom of God. The mission that Jesus came to fulfill was about God's mission. Was always about the kingdom of God. And that is what you are going to find in most of the parables. Parables such as the sheep and the goat. Parable of the good of the tax collector. Parable of the good Samaritan. And many others are meant to bring us face to face with the truth of God's word. And help us to understand those truths. And I want to caution us this morning, it's not our definition of truth. Not how I see it and how I believe it's meant, but it's what God's word conveys. The truth of God's word. The truth about the kingdom of God. James Montgomery Boyce, American Reformed theologian, had this to say. He said, other sections of the Bible give us grand theology. Some move us to grateful response to God. But the parables break through mere words and make us ask whether there has been any real difference in our lives. Isn't that what we should expect since the parables come from the lips of Jesus? No one was ever better than Jesus at getting through pretense to reality. End quote. James Montgomery Boyce, I'm certain most of you know it, but he also took all the parables of Jesus, the 40 plus parables, and put them in a chronological order, and then he groups them so that we can understand how Jesus was going about speaking in parables. And it is interesting to see the grouping, the five groupings that he put it. He says you have a section of the parables of the kingdom where Jesus focused on about the kingdom of God. Then you have the parables of salvation, parables of wisdom and folly, parables of the Christian life, and parables of judgment. All of which I trust and pray that in the coming weeks, like I said, I'll touch on most of these. As much as people flocked to listen to Jesus' teaching, Jesus' message was much more than just making them feel good. Most of the time, the crowd always had a problem with what Jesus spoke, because he looked them straight in their eyes and in their face, and he tell them exactly what they wanted, what they needed to hear. And they did not like that. And as ministers of the gospel, as believers in Christ, We must never water down the gospel or compromise it. And Jesus said, I have not spoken on my own authority, when most of the times when he would respond, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a command to go and do this. He says, my Father gave me what to say and what not to say. And we today have the Word of God, are doing the same very thing. We speak God's Word, but we must speak it with love, and we must speak it in truth. We must speak it in such a way so that it ministers grace, yes, but it must not be compromised or watered down. And there are many times that people will hear the gospel and are upset about what they heard. I have people in for many of you are familiar that Living Hope Community Church is a new church plant, and we have a lot of newcomers, new believers. But when they hear sometimes the gospel and they hear certain things, they question it as to say, why would God want to do something like that? Or why does the gospel has to be so hard? They wonder. And I'm certain that you and I have been there in our life, or some time in the place in our life. I mean, as a Christian, when I was growing up, my sister and my three sisters were already saved. They served the Lord, loved the Lord, going to church every Sunday, and I was the one persecuting them for not even for going to church. I thought my sisters then were crazy when the Lord saved them. I used to stop them from going to church, persecute them. And even when I listened to the gospel by making an effort to go to church, I thought what they were saying in church was craziness. My brother-in-law is a pastor. Take me to church, put me to sit, and by the time he would preach or pray, I was out of the church. I never wanted to listen to it because I thought it was all nonsense. And here today, God called me to do the same very thing that I was thinking it was nonsense. And Jesus was not going to preach the gospel in such a way so that, you know, everyone would follow him. Isn't that? Just a few were following him after that. Because what? They didn't like his message. And there are people who will hear the truth of God's word, but will not respond to it because their hearts are far from God. Only those who are called by God, those whose ears are open, can understand spiritual truth. Truth made known to each and every one of us by the Holy Spirit. You and I are not here by chance this morning. We're here because God called us. We're here because not only because we want to be in church, but because we have responded to the gospel. We're here every Sunday because we respond to what God has done in and through our lives. And we're called to go, and like I said, to preach and to do exactly what Jesus called us to do. But the work is always the work of the Holy Spirit. And don't be discouraged if you have loved ones. I'm from a family of 10, 4 brothers, 6 sisters, but not all of us are walking with the Lord. Yes, some of them we're praying for and trust that God will bring them to the knowledge of the truth, but we're not discouraged. We're not giving up hope. We're continuing to pray for them, and I encourage you that if you have loved ones who don't know the Lord, or grandchildren or children who are still walking with the Lord, don't give up. Don't give up on them. Because God has not given up on them. They may not come to church, or you may not see them walking in the ways that they should walk or in the way that they should go. But it's God who changes their heart, and we must continue to walk in obedience and trust God for them. And friends and family will reject your message, will reject your message, even when you tell them what God is doing in your life. And Jesus had the same response, but he was not looking for the crowd. He was not there for the crowd. He was there to tell them the truth. And that's what we need to do as believers in Christ. We preach the truth of the gospel. R.C. Sproul said that Jesus came not to instruct and to help people understand the kingdom of God. No, he came as a judgment on those who do not want to hear the truth. He came to tell them that the judgment is going to come if they don't respond to it. Not to drive fear in their heart, but to help them to understand. And I want to like to close with these, I hope, and pray that in the next, like I said, several weeks, as we touch on those parables, that we're going to see what God has to say to us in those parables. Some of which you may not like when you hear how Jesus respond. Same like the parables of the sower and the seed. That the soil, the word of God will not find place in the hearts of some. You will hear parables of the Good Samaritan. You will hear parables of things where the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, those who had oil in their lamps and those who don't have oil in their lamps, and how the door is going to be shut for those that are never going to make it into the kingdom of God. And sometimes it will upset or make you feel as if, man, it is very hard. But at the end of the day, it's God's word. But I want to encourage you with these words from 1 Corinthians as I bring this message to a close this morning. And I love the words of what Paul says, because it reminds us so much of why we're called to do what we do here this morning as believers in Christ. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, he says in chapter 1, verse 18, I'll read several verses here this morning. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy, God says, the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." And then Paul would stand to those around and he says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debaters of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly or foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand a sign and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to the world's worldly standard. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Because of him, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." God's word. So I want to encourage you that if you have time this week, and maybe in the course of the next couple of weeks, maybe take some time and read up on the gospel, and whether you go into Matthew, Mark, or Luke, Matthew chapter 13, the chapter that we just read, is a great place to start. And I trust and pray that you will be able to grasp some of those of what Jesus was saying to his disciples there. So I want to encourage you to take some time to do so when you are having your own personal devotion. Let us pray. Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can ask the same question like your disciples. Why parables? Why do you speak to them in parables? And Lord, those same parables are recorded for us because the truth of your word still remains, Lord. And I pray, Father, this morning, the introduction that we have looked at this morning, the things that we have discussed, Lord, will open our hearts to dig deeper into the parables in the coming weeks, Lord. Help us to understand the truth of your word. Make known your ways to us. Lord, the same way you spoke 2,000 years ago, Father, I pray this morning that as we read your word, as we spend time meditating, Lord, God, that you will open our hearts and make known your ways to us. We give praise and thanks to you this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us as we commit our lives into your hands. We give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.